big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen Gerrard says he's about to sign a new contract as Rangers turn attentions to young boys. Celtic are in Romania with the pressure off, having already qualified. And Craig Levein and Austin McPhee will share sporting director duties at Hearts until a new appointment is made. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Weedy.
And as you said, Gordon, it's a massive night tomorrow for Rangers. They have to bounce back from the disappointment of Sunday and get the point that they need against young boys. For Celtic, Neil Lennon will probably try out two or three different players, and then he looks towards the league duty for them on Sunday too. But a massive night coming up for Rangers.
I mean, how big a period is this, Jim Duffy? You go straight from a League Cup final and everything that came with the fallout from that, in case you hadn't heard, there was quite a bit, and straight onto Europa League action before some important Premiership action at the weekend as well. So there's no time to rest.
I almost said it was a big week. A week ago when we were in the studio, and Aberdeen and then Celtic and then Young Boys. And it hasn't worked out the way Rangers would have hoped so far. But they've got, a chance to rectify it a little bit. Won't go all the way to healing the wounds. But if they get a positive result and get into the last 16... last 32, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That'll be fantastic. So, that's they've really just got to focus on the game ahead now. There's nothing they can do. They played very well at the weekend, in the end of a bad result, but played very well. So they've got to try and have a similar type of performance, but be more clinical.
Because all the build-up to the League Cup final, Mark, there were so many questions. Obviously, the most important thing was who wins it, who walks away with the silverware. But then there was that question of a marker. Is it a sign of what's to come for the rest of the season? It's now when we start to find that out. We start to find out tomorrow, essentially, what type of hangover Rangers have, if any, or if they use it to spur them on. And then we build up to that big game in the 29th. We start to find out the answer as we go along.
I hate, it's an old cliche and I hate using it, but
where you're going.
Tomorrow night for me is the most important game Rangers will play this season. If they get the result they need, they'll be fine. If it ends in disappointment tomorrow night, there's a chance that it could really go pear-shaped. You know, a few difficult games coming up. They've got to go to Firth Park, got to go to Easter Road, got to go to Celtic Park before the winter break. But the good thing for Stephen, much they lost the cup on Sunday, and these players, they played really well. They know they don't have anything to fear against Celtic. They can go on and win the league. They can beat Celtic. But it's just about the mentality that they show, and can they bounce back to get the result tomorrow night.
Is that the way it is, Jim? You take all those positives rather than subscribing to the view that defeats like that can actually be even more soul destroying sometimes?
Yeah, because there is more in them still. I mean if Alfredo Morelos has had his shooting boots on, then it's a different game. If Ryan Kent would have played anywhere near again, it maybe have been a different scoreline, because I felt he was one of the poorer Rangers players against Celtic, and expected a lot more from him. So playing really well, but having, if you want to call it, two of your top players not at their very best, shows that if you can keep that level of performance up, and they can then, if you want to call it, add to that, then there's no doubt that Rangers can beat Young Boys and still have a very, very strong league season.
Okay, Celtic are in Romania. They are on their way to the stadium at the moment, so they're running a little bit late. The press conference should have been starting by now, but as soon as it's finished, we'll cross over, we'll speak to Alison Conroy, and we'll let you hear straight away what Neil Lennon had to say. Let's kick things off by hearing from Stephen Gerrard. So Rangers fans, a perfect time for you to get in touch. Let us know what you think. He says he's on the verge of signing a new contract. So quite simply, what do you make of that? What do you make of the timing as well? Happy all round. 01419511025 or at Clyde SSB. He says he's seen enough from his players to know they're capable of bringing success back to the club, and he says he wants to be a part of it.
The club approached me, I'm not sure the exact day, but probably a week, 10 days ago, about a new deal, and it's pretty a simple decision as far as I'm concerned. I want to stay around, I'm happy here. I'm as hungry and determined to get the good days back here as I ever was, so talks have been pretty straightforward and positive. When it's signed and announced, you'll have to wait and see. I don't want any focus on myself or these players before tomorrow's game. Well, I think I'm very grateful for the opportunity in the first place to get a chance to manage and lead this football club. I've enjoyed my time here so far. I think we're going in the right direction. If you're happy, then why not, is my motto. I believe in these players, I believe in the club, in the direction it's going. And on the evidence of what I've seen at the weekend, even though the day didn't go in our favour, there was enough evidence there for me that if we keep doing the right things and keep working hard for each other, our day will come. And I want to be part of that.
So what do you make of that news that Stephen Gerrard is about to sign a new contract? 01419511025. And what about the timing? Are you happy that it's now? Would you have preferred to wait a little bit down the line? You tell us. 01419511025. We should note that Alan McGregor and Stephen Davis have also agreed new deals. The club set to announce them soon. Stephen Gerrard also confirming he wants to extend Jermaine Defoe's stay at the club. So all in, what do you make of it?
I mean, I'm never quite sure. I know it was kind of, you know, it's discussed a little bit a week or so ago, but I'm never quite sure the timing of these things. You know, whether it's better to maybe wait until after, you know, maybe Thursday, because Stephen Gerrard said he doesn't want the conversation. But Matt's a journalist; he'll tell you. Of course, the journalists are going to ask him about that, and you know, will maybe take a little bit of the attention away from, which is a vital match on Thursday. So I'm not quite sure, you know, I agree with the timing. But listen, that's not Stephen Gerrard's place. That's obviously information. It's just leaked out.
Listen, it's good news. I agree with Jim. You know, you want the focus to be on tomorrow night. But, you know, it's good that I think that Stephen Gerrard is the right manager for Rangers just now. I think he can do very well. I think he can bring success to the club. And if you've got someone like that, bearing in mind, you know, the guy who he took over from, you know, what like that was. So if you've got someone like that and he's up for it, then get him tied down for sure.
How does it make you feel, Rangers fans? Is this good news? And what about the timing? As Jim says, 01419511025, and on the players as well, clearly focusing on that band of experienced campaigners that Rangers have. How crucial is that in your eyes?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, Davis and McGregor, you'd have them in your team all day long. Defoe, I think I agree something with Jermaine Defoe, it's good as well. But especially Alan McGregor and Steve Davis, that's great news.
It's the same with every contract that anyone signs nowadays. It's not necessarily that person stays until the end of that contract, Jim. I think we all know that. So is this as much about Rangers putting themselves in a good position as well, should another club want to come along down the line?
Yeah, it's exact same as a top player. You know, if you get them on a good healthy contract, then you know the pendulum swings in Rangers' favour if there is any interest further down the line, a year or two or whatever. But in terms of the other players, I think not just their quality on the pitch, but their professionalism in and around. You hear so many, you know, the younger managers in particular, but the modern day clubs talking about leaders, plural, in the dressing room. You know, you rarely hear them just talking about a captain. You hear them saying captains and leaders. It's always plurals. And I think that's what Stephen Gerrard is relying on Davis, Defoe, McGregor, these type of guys to be the leaders in the dressing room. They have won things, and I think it's really important that they stay around about the club to try and guide the rest of those type of players into having that winning mentality.
Yeah, keep those calls coming on that subject. And what about tomorrow as well? This is the big build up. Clearly it's much more at stake for Rangers than Celtic tomorrow. This game against the Young Boys, is it the perfect opportunity to bounce back? Stephen Gerrard thinks it is. He says his players have reacted well. He's hoping they can change the whole feeling around the club with the right result tomorrow.
I think we've got no choice. I think at a club like Rangers, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. I think what we're trying to create in the dressing room is a real humble squad. So if we experience a real big high, yeah, you can obviously enjoy that, but you want to get them refocused as quick as they can, because the next challenge comes thick and fast. And it's the same way after a disappointment. Yes, you know, you need to obviously heal in your own time, in your own different way. But the good thing about this game is you get a chance to change the whole mood and the whole feeling around the club. The players are aware of that. I think they've reacted really well since the disappointment of the weekend. And we're ready to go. Had two real positive sessions to prepare for this. And we've worked ever so hard since the middle of July for this opportunity. So it's important the players go and try and grasp that.
It's where the League Cup's different, Jim, from the Scottish Cup, obviously, because that comes at the end of the season. And if you get there, yeah, you'll be disappointed, but you go away, you get over it over the summer. Rangers have had a whole 3 days to get over it. There is simply no time to feel sorry for themselves.
Yeah, but as Stephen Gerrard said there, you know, a club at Rangers, you know, you want big games coming up. The fans expect big games to come up thick and fast, and they've had them, and they will continue to have them over the rest of December. But this is a huge match. But I think it's an ideal one. I think if it was another few days, you know, it could linger a little bit, and then if it's a domestic game, it might just be a wee bit flat. But the fans will turn up in huge numbers at Ibrox on Thursday. They will get behind the team from the start. Now, whether that continues depends on the players. They've got to respond to that. They've got to show the fans, listen, this is such an important game for us. We're going to give it everything. And as the manager said, listen, they've worked, you know, incredibly hard since mid-July. So they're right on the brink of achieving something, and you wouldn't want to throw that hard work away.
Barry's a Rangers fan in Dumbarton. He's first up tonight. Barry, Stephen Gerrard, they're talking about him about to sign a new contract. Is that music to your ears as a Rangers fan?
Sure is. He's doing close.
Yeah, good thanks, Barry. You happy with that news then, yeah?
Delighted after the weekend. You know, we need a wee pick-up. We knew it was on the cards after last week. Been all over follow. So he knew it was happening, you know. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, Mark, how much of a show of faith is it in Stephen Gerrard? Because at this point in the season, it's 11th of December, and Rangers didn't manage to get over the line on Sunday. So Rangers fans don't need me to tell them that things could obviously go wrong between now and the end of the season. But the Rangers board have obviously seen enough in Stephen Gerrard at this point that they want to reward them.
Yeah, and it covers Rangers too. I mean, you look at, for example, Brendan Rodgers at Celtic. He was in the door, what, a year, and they gave him his new deal. And between him and his backroom staff, it got Celtic, what, £7-8 million in compensation, whatever it was. It's the right thing to do. And the most important thing is, he is a good manager. Okay, he's not won anything yet. They've had a bad week, but it can all start off again tomorrow night. But this is, you can't overstate it. Gordon, this is a massive few weeks coming up for Rangers between now and the winter break.
I know it's different, Matt, because it's Scotland and you know, we expect, you know, the Old Firm in particular, you know, clubs, you know, with the resources Rangers get to be winners. But, you know, like Sir Pochettino didn't win, you know what I mean? But people think he's a fantastic manager. So you can be a very good manager and not always, you know, come up with the silverware. But, you know, not to say, as I say to you,
in England it's a different,
but I'm talking about resources.
Sure.
Because Spurs have still got huge resources comparison to a lot of clubs. So I think Stephen Gerrard's still got to win. He wants to win. And I think that's a big reason why he's keen to sign, because I think he doesn't want to leave Rangers.
Of course you can. Winning. Of course you can, Barry. On you go.
Cheers, mate. Thanks very much. Basically, that was my point. It was obviously a producer just put that one on first.
Sorry, I just threw that upon you. My apologies.
No worries. My first point was, I was just to ask Mark and Jim if they thought the goal was offside on Sunday.
Did I think the goal? Yes, the goal was offside. Yeah, for me, it was a clear offside, and the goal shouldn't have stood. Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was offside as well. I mean, I haven't seen, I believe there's a lot of different pictures and stills. I haven't seen any of them, but from what I've seen, it was offside.
Good stuff. Me as well. What you say, you, Gordon, maybe Radio Clyde, Hugh Keevans maybe needs a new set of spectacles.
Maybe.
No offence to the old man. But he needs a new set of specs.
To be fair, he didn't say it was onside. He just said he couldn't quite make up his mind. And I don't think he's alone, judging by some of the reaction. But listen, we'll never change his mind, and he would never change yours, Barry. I'm thinking most people are well entrenched in their views on that one. What about tomorrow night? Are you backing Rangers to very much bounce back?
Oh, we should smash them all. I'm hoping we smash them tomorrow. I think it'll be a big... The players will be actually raging. The players will not be raging with themselves because they put everything in. They played a great game. They're the best team in the pitch. So, but I think they'll just... Tomorrow night, they'll just... They might do it for each other. Do you know what I mean? They deserve it because they did deserve to win on Sunday. But it's a game of football. Anything can happen. Blah, blah, blah. But tomorrow night, I think we can do Young Boys. Over there, we should have got a draw. And then we should maybe even have won a match. Mm. I think we can do it all, mightn't it? And I read today on Follow, it basically said if Rangers win and Celtic win two more wins, both teams get Champions League places because the Czech Republic team went out last night. So basically in 2021-22, so Rangers and Celtic, we get Champions League qualification
place. Yeah, that's right. The coefficient's looking pretty decent at the moment. I think two more wins as would... secure it. Things can obviously change, but we're in a decent enough position at the moment. When you're looking at that reaction, Jim, clearly guys like Alfredo Morelos are going to be the ones under the microscope. Had a difficult day by his own standards on Sunday. What impact does that have on him, or is it back to that old thing about goal scorers? As soon as he gets the next one, you sort of forget about it and move on.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, about the you know, the individual's mentality, each individual player. So somebody like, you know, going back in the day when Alan McCoist was getting a fair bit of stick when he first started, and he had that mental toughness to deal with it and eventually become an exceptional goal scorer. Chris Boy was similar. You know, people always was very critical of Chris Boy because what they saw was a lack of work rate, but his goal scoring was, again, exceptional. So Alfredo Morelos has to deal with it. He just has to be able to deal with it. That's the nature of being a centre-forward for Rangers. And missing in such a pivotal game and clear-cut chances. So he's got to just take it on his shoulders. He's got to rise to the challenge and you know, show people what he's all about.
01419511025 if you want to have your say on the phones. You can also get in touch on Twitter. That's at Clyde SSB. Big thank you to Barry and Dumbarton for kicking us off tonight. What about John in Greenock? John's a Celtic fan, but he's got some thoughts on Steven Gerrard. Hi, John.
It's 36 hours after the game, and once again the Rangers fans are still going on about this goal. Now, I've seen all these goals in the 1980s and the 19s, goals getting Celtics to had them and never got. Now, they're just going to accept it. They get beat 1-0 and that's it. Now, we're going to Mr. Gerrard's contract, the new contract. See if they get beaten Thursday night and they go to Fir Park on Sunday and they drop another 2 points like they did at Pittodrie, and they go to Easter Road and they get beat. And Celtic scuff him in the 29th. Stevie could boot a job and then get a new contract. Stevie could be sitting next to Santa Claus. You'd be looking for a job. That's my point tonight, mate.
I mean, I think that was four ifs, John. That was, there's quite a lot that needs to happen there. Yeah.
I know it is, but as I see, but Celtic's already 2 points in front of him. As I see, it's called Radio Clyde. Oh, I've been listening to all weeks the Rangers channel. Rangers, that's what I've been getting.
John, you're a Celtic fan, you've just phoned up to talk about the Rangers manager.
I know, but you're on about a contract. It's all week it's been Rangers, they get a goal chopped off. They've just got to get up and smell the coffee.
It was indeed. What about John's take on the contract situation?
Well, if he signs a new contract, it'll not matter the results of the next couple of weeks. He'll be there, absolutely. But, you know, listen... We know, you know, when it comes to this type of game, fans get a little bit more excitable than they maybe do when they play other teams, and people look at decisions as much more of an impact than they do in other games. I mean, I spoke to you just before the programme about Motherwell's offside or not offside goal, which was horrendous, but it's almost, you know, just doesn't exist. It doesn't, you know, no one mentions it, no one concerned about it. But in this particular game, any decision at all is always and always has been. It's been for as long as I've been a wee boy. Any big decision has been debated and dissected and analysed, and everyone's got their opinions on it. And that's the nature of this fixture.
Johns is obviously quite an extreme example, Mark, of Steven Gerrard really capitulating between now and January, yeah. and then he's got him out of job. But is there still a risk with regards to the timing? Because you likened it to Brendan Rodgers last time when he came in and Celtic rewarded him, but of course he managed to get the silverware. Is there any risk attached to giving Steven Gerrard the new contract at this point in time?
Not for me, no. I mean, if you believe in him, get it done. And Steven Gerrard will get a bump up in his wages. He'll have bigger bonuses. And if it goes well for him and another club comes in for him, then Rangers will be well compensated. If it doesn't, then, you know, they'd be looking to bring in another manager. But, you know, even if John's scenario comes true over the next 3 or 4 weeks, I don't think Steven Gerrard's in danger of losing his job.
John, thank you for the call. It's 01419511025. Celtic fans, which fringe players would you like to see given a run out in Romania tomorrow? I'm not sure many predicted this at the start of the campaign. Through top of the group with a game to spare, it is an actual dead rubber in Europe for the right reasons. I can't believe we've got one of them. So you would imagine some players will get a chance. Who would you like to see given their shot at European football tomorrow? 01419511025, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic are in Romania. I believe the press conference is due to start sometime soon. It was meant to start 25 minutes ago, but as soon as it does and it finishes, we'll cross over and we will let you hear from Neil Lennon exactly what he had to say looking ahead to the game against Cluj. So the question at the moment for you Celtic fans is quite simple. Which fringe players would you like to see given a chance and why? Celtic are not only through, but they have topped the group, so it doesn't really matter what happens tomorrow. So which fringe players should be given a chance? 01419511025. While you get your calls in, let's hear from Dan Petrescu, the Cluj manager. He's been looking ahead to the game.
In my opinion, they go all the way. They can go all the way. They can win the trophy. And I think the same with Lazio, if they will qualify. Both of teams, they have the capability. They are good enough to win this competition. In my opinion, Lazio and Celtic, they are Champions League teams. I know the coach. I know the mentality. They will come here to win the game.
So there we go. He's been very complimentary about Celtic all along. Now he's got them winning the Europa League as well, has Dan.
I think he'd be looking for a job somewhere.
It was like that in the when he the Champions League qualifiers, wasn't he? And you know, he played it very well in the media. You know, just kind of downplayed his team's chances, etc., etc., and ended up knocking Celtic out. I don't agree. I don't think Celtic. Yes, they can win it. Will they win it? No, I don't think they will. But at the moment, congratulate them because it's a brilliant achievement, as you say. And I think too, you know, a lot of the chat tonight's been about Steven Gerrard because of his contract, but just to take a moment and just to praise Neil Lennon because he was in a real sore one after they lost to Cluj back in August, Gordon, and look at the way he's turned it around. He's been absolutely terrific. Wins the first trophy up for grabs in the season, into the Europa League last 32 with two games to spare. He has been doing an absolutely fantastic job for Celtic, and I don't think there'll be many Celtic fans, if any, now. When you think what he had to come through 9 months ago, 10 months ago, when he got the job, in terms of a lot of people not in favour of him, and he's managed to change opinions and bring success to Celtic, so he deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, I think especially after the cup final when he actually got appointed on a permanent basis.
Yeah.
Obviously the temporary, I think a lot of people think, okay, fair enough, he knows the club, but certainly from you know, the kind of the opinions we got in this programme, I would have said it was pretty much 50-50 at best that people thought he should be the man that got the job permanently. But I think he's turned that around and he's done an outstanding job. I mean, not just the winning mentality, and obviously that was highlighted at the weekend. I mean, that kind of, you know, resilience and determination. But the style of football in the vast majority of games has been a joy to watch. And some of the goals, some of the free-flowing football, people are saying, oh, they maybe not play quite as much. But I tell you what, I mean, from looking at a Brendan Rodgers team or looking at a Neil Lennon team, they're both very pleasing on the eye. Neil Lennon's team a bit more, I don't mean directing long ball, but, you know, getting forward a little bit quicker. But certainly in terms of entertainment and winning, absolutely, you know, a phenomenal job.
Right, Celtic fans, we asked you which fringe players should be given a chance tomorrow. This might help you. Neil Lennon speaking at the moment. Listen to this for a list of players who have not travelled with Celtic: Fraser Forster, Scott Brown, Callum McGregor, Ryan Christie and Tom Rogic. None of them have travelled, so that shows you just what we can perhaps expect tomorrow. Let's get some suggestions from Brian in Moss Park. What do you think about tomorrow, Brian?
No, that was quite good. Just after hearing those names there, that sort of cheered me up a wee bit. And I think he's not exactly a fringe player, but I think this guy should get 90 minutes tomorrow, or sorry, tomorrow night, yes, as Lee Griffiths. I think Neil made a wee bit of a mistake on Sunday by just playing Lewis Morgan up front himself and Lee not a sub to sort of come on. I mean, it was, I actually think we got quite fortunate. Just obviously we did. But it was no out ball, and Rangers just mopped everything up. And I think obviously Lee's, unless other sort of underlying issues, why he's not getting a start, or wasn't, didn't he make a bench on Sunday?
Is Lee Griffiths going to be the number one contender, if you like, for tomorrow? The guy that people are really looking to and saying, right, surely this is the time where we see him starting to try and get back into the team?
Yeah, if he's physically and mentally ready to play. I mean, I know Brian's a fan, and fans sometimes want to know everything. You know, why is Lee Griffiths not playing? Well, maybe the manager thinks, I'm not really wanting to disclose this. You know,
but he had three sub appearances, didn't he? So, yeah, I mean, he must be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, but he may have had a poor week. You know what I mean? He may have something that just kind of got him out of that squad, because you would have thought even a 75% Lee Griffiths would have been on the bench. Mm-hmm. But listen, you know, the manager made the choice, made the decision for the reasons he's not made public, and I think you've got to respect that, and you know, and also respect it from the manager's point of view and the player. And sometimes if the player's ready to go, then fine. If he is ready to go, I expect him to be involved tomorrow night if he's ready.
Odson Edward hasn't travelled either, by the way. Mm-hmm. Add him to that list. So Mark, just that shows you how Neil Lennon sees this. For anyone who thought that maybe he would go strong and try and keep momentum or whatever it is, that's Celtic's maybe the first six names on the team sheet, if you like, yeah. All rested.
Yeah, and I think it's the right thing to do if you've got the luxury of not having to take, you know, half a dozen of your key players to Romania, getting back, you know, in the early hours of Friday morning and then preparing for the game on Sunday, you know. So your Scott Browns, your Callum McGregors, Ryan Christie's, those boys deserve a rest, and I'm sure they'll be glad of it. And getting it. And one thing, just in the striker situation in general at Celtic, Gordon, Celtic won the cup on Sunday, but you know, they kind of get away with one in terms of the striking position because they don't have a proper backup. You know, whatever you say, and we've known about Lee Griffiths now for a year, and I said this in the summer, you can't, for a variety of reasons, it wouldn't be fair to rely on Lee Griffiths this season. Celtic need to address that properly.
But in January,
you can't go the rest of the second half of the season just be watching Edward. It must be addressed in January and get a striker in.
When you go, Brian?
I think it was quite apart from Sunday. Obviously, the time he came on it and actually how he performed, Odson Edward was not matched that. And I think even at Lee Griffiths, I think you mentioned it yourself earlier, Mark, that even at sort of half that Lee Griffiths, he's going to give you something different. And I just think, hopefully, it's not underlying issues and he is going to get a start and he is going to get back in the team, because unless we buy somebody back a decent striker in January, and then could be tighter than I'd like to hope.
On Odson Edward, the fact that he's not travelled for this one shows you that that was a patch up job on Sunday. Yeah. Right, we need you to go out and do something if you can, and we'll deal with your recovery later.
I think that looked at, I mean, it was almost 60 minutes bang on the minute to, and I think that was it. He's obviously said, like, can you give me half an hour? And you know, he's went, yeah, okay, I can last that. And but there's not much the point of taking any risk when you've already qualified. So it doesn't matter who he plays up front. He could play Mikey Johnson. If Lee Griffiths is not available, he could play Lewis Morgan again. But I'm saying, in a couple of games that Celtic have played against Rangers with Mikey Johnson up top and then Lewis Morgan up top, they've struggled in both of them. So it shows the importance of having that focal point, and everybody knows that. But listen, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they go there to close tomorrow night. And you know, they can play whoever they like. They've got the luxury of doing that. And as I said, it'll be a strange game. I think that's the best way to do it, because there's no way Celtic can have the same motivation. It's impossible, because they've already done their job. So it's about giving maybe some players European experience and some players game time, like Niarde Beaton, maybe some more minutes and things like that. So, and it's about protecting some other players as well.
I mean, Paul Wilkie's on Twitter at Clyde SSB. He says there's absolutely no need to play any of our main players tomorrow. It's a difficult game against Hibs on Sunday, so good to have a chance to rest our main players and give some needed minutes to the fringe players. That's the view of Paul on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Thank you to Brian in Moss Park. Let's move on to John, who's also a Celtic fan. What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow then, John? You've just heard that list of players that are all left behind in Glasgow.
Hi guys, see, before I get to my point, I'm actually, Mark and Jim and Gordon, I'm so chuffed that Steven Gerrard signed a contract extension, because the guy's a perennial loser, all kind of aside. Everybody shalomies to him. He's never won anything as a manager. He didn't win much as a player, right, at the Champions League, right? But I think it's a great bit of business for Celtic, honestly. Anyway,
I liked how you just dismissed the Champions League there, John, as if it was a small achievement.
Well, see, as I say, I know Mark's going to have a go at me, right? The guy played for 20 years and never won the league with Liverpool. You know what I mean? Says it all. So,
does it?
A certain Henrik Larsson played half a season, won more championship like, down them there. You know what I mean?
Sometimes it depends what team you're in, John. That's how team sports works.
Yeah. It depends on the eras as well, John. But anyway, what's your point?
He could have gone to Chelsea and won the league with Chelsea, but he stayed at Liverpool.
It's like Alan Shearer saying he's not a good striker because he went to Newcastle. On you go, John. What have you got?
I was trying to get on Mark last night and that, right? And do you not think that, I mean, as I say, I hope Lee Griffiths, I'm always on about Lee, right? And I don't know if his time at Celtic's up, Mark. You've touched on it a couple of times. Maybe it's the time in the January transfer, maybe to make out on loan if he's not getting game time. As I say, we don't know, as Jim says, what's happened behind the scenes, etc. But I think he should get a wee run out tomorrow, right? And as I say, if the last caller there, Brian, said a 75% fit Lee Griffiths, and I'm not having a go at Lewis Morgan, the wee guy tried his best, but he's like Mikey Johnson, he's not a centre forward. I mean, and we were playing with sort of 10 men, before we went down to 10 men, because it was a shame for that. I felt sorry for the boy on Sunday. But I think Griffiths has got a chance tomorrow, along with apparently wee Karamoko's travelled as well, so I'd like to see him getting a wee cameo role. But my main point, Mark, was, you think in the summer the main bit of business for Neil is to get Mick Fraser on a permanent deal? What do you think?
He would certainly want to do that, and you know, he'll try and, or the club will probably try and do it before the summer if they can, John, rather than waiting to see, because you know, I've said many times now, particularly in the wake of the Champions League qualifier defeat to Cluj, you need to have these things done in advance. You can't be waiting until July or June to find out if you've got Fraser Forster, and if you don't get me, you need to go and find a replacement. So you want to they wanted your business done in January to prepare for the summer. That's what you want to do. That's why I'm saying you need to go and try their very best to get the best possible striker in that they can to give them competition for places. And also, if Edward does go in the summer, that you've got somebody properly that's been at the club for a wee while, rather than, you know, rushing to try and get somebody a couple of days notice. But yes, Fraser Forster, Neil Lennon really pushed to get Fraser Forster in the door. He wanted a goalkeeper on Sunday, and you know, for previous games, Lazio and stuff like that, you could see exactly why. So it'd be a great bit of business if they could get him. But he's on a hefty personal wage down the road, and that could be a stumbling block.
And also, you would need, I believe he's still under contract, isn't he? Yes. Unless I'm mistaken. Yes, so you're looking at the fee and that wage.
I don't know.
How much is there to go, do you think?
I think the fee would be fair. I don't think Southampton, you know, considering his third, fourth choice, whatever he was. So I think he could do something with Southampton, but, you know, he'll be, I don't know what his wage is, but I would imagine, Jim, it would be in excess of 60 grand a week. Yeah. And there's no way Celtic can pay that.
The thing for me is that if Celtic can get in now, because, you know, football's at a game, particularly now in England. We've seen managers, and obviously, you know, the Everton manager's gone, the West Ham manager under pressure, Southampton manager's under pressure, let's no mistake about that as well. They've been in the bottom three for a lot of the season. If they can't get out of that by the next maybe month, he might lose his job, and a new manager comes in and thinks, wait a minute, I've got, where's my goalkeepers here? I've got Alex McCarthy, or I've got Gunn, Fraser Foster, wait a minute, get him back here. We want him back. Yep. So I think he's a bit, so he could, you know, you can all of a sudden become back in favour again if a new manager comes in. So I wouldn't want to risk that if I was Celtic. If I was Celtic, same as Mark was saying, I'd be trying to get this deal done now because they're in a good position. You know, the fans are, you know, loving, the players enjoying it. He's playing at the top of his form. There's talk about, you know, can he push himself back into the England setup and all these sort of things. So for me, the timing is really good now if they can go and negotiate to get him there.
John mentions Karamoko Dembele. Now, I think he was injured over the summer. We've not seen any of him in Celtic's first team this season. Is that right? I don't think we've seen him at all.
He was up at Dingwall in the squad because I seen him doing a little warm up, although he wasn't on the bench.
So he has travelled
a little bit. Yeah,
you won't get. Our clubs don't tend to get many meaningless games in Europe, if you can call them that. So might this be a chance that Neil Lennon's tempted to take to give him some European experience?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Mm, yeah. We both say that. You know, I think again, just whether it's Karamoko Dembele or any other young Celtic players there that are on the fringes that you feel have got the potential, why not? I mean, what, there's no point in giving some of the other guys that have had all the experience, these type of games, if you've got these boys in this particular game. It's the one chance you might get over the next umpteen years to do this. Mm-hmm. So why not take that chance, give them experience, let them give them a taste of it, get the hunger and push themselves, let them see what it's all about, different style of play, everything required, the mentality, the physicality, the tempo of the game, everything, even though it won't be as intense as a meaningful one, if you want to call it that.
Thank you very much to John in Coatbridge. It's 01419511025. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. What about your team lineup thoughts, Rangers fans? Because there is a lot to play for in that one. Maybe a couple of knocks from the weekend. Who should play for Rangers tomorrow? 01419511025. And we could be speaking to you after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. John Thompson sent us a tweet to say that Scott Sinclair should start for Celtic tomorrow. We've not seen a lot of him, that must be said. But he is one that Neil Lennon has said will feature for Celtic tomorrow. So Neil Lennon's just finishing up his press conference, and we'll let you hear from him as soon as we possibly can. 01419511025 on the phones, just to see what your thoughts are ahead of both games tomorrow. But of course, the Rangers one, that's the one with the consequences. That's the big game, if you like. We're looking at Celtic in terms of who do they rotate, who do they give a chance to, who do they rest. But for Rangers, the consequences are huge. Let's touch on that with Craig, who's a Rangers fan. How are you feeling, Craig, looking ahead to tomorrow? Are you confident?
I didn't say we're doing. Yeah, I'm quietly confident. Listen, I think, Sunday was obviously a massive, massive blow, a massive disappointment to not win that cup, particularly when, for large spells of that game, we had played Celtic off the park. But I think, when you look at the fact that they had a goalkeeper in Fraser Foster who, was just playing, he's, the best you're likely to see a goalkeeper play all season. That was one of those ones where normally you say against any other team would have won, against any other goalkeeper would have won. But they've got to use the hurt from that to motivate them and push them on tomorrow night, because I think, they don't need to beat Young Boys tomorrow. A point would be enough, as I understand it. I might be wrong there, but I'm pretty sure a point would be enough to see us through. And at Ibrox this season, against anybody who's came, you obviously beat Porto as well, in all competitions, we have been brilliant, with one obvious exception in the Celtic game. So I think, why not? Why not go out there and get the win? Plus, it's also a far bigger game for us to win. Sunday was disappointing, but financially, we will get more money for getting through the knockout stages of the Europa League than we would have for winning the League Cup. Even from that point of view, it's a bigger game.
It certainly is financially, Craig. No one could argue that. But are you really saying you would take progression to the next round over a trophy?
Well, look, had that been the last trophy we can compete for this season, then no. But we need to remember, we're now just about at the halfway point of the season. That is the first piece of silverware. It's important, but we're still in the Scottish Cup. We could still go and win that. We're certainly very much still in with a shout of winning the league. I know you had the Celtic fan on earlier who thinks there's going to be a capitulation and we're going to go and get beat every game between now and the end of the year. That won't happen. We've got tough games, but if we can get through them, and bear in mind as well, if we can keep momentum going in the league, once we get to Celtic Park, that will be a game that will give us a chance. It will be tough, obviously, at Celtic Park. We've not won there in a number of years, but if they can then pull a result out at Celtic Park, they can still stay, they can still get top of the league by the end of this year. So there is a lot to play for. That game on Sunday was a disappointment, but I also think we have to remember, and I think to be fair to Stephen Gerrard as well, that was his first cup final as a manager. Now, had Rangers went out and utterly capitulated and not performed in the slightest, then we'd be having a different conversation. But the fact was, we've got unlucky, not just that game. You know, three of the last four games we've played, we've had decisions go against us. You look at the Aberdeen game, there's a stonewall penalty we should have had in that game, which, if we get that, albeit we could have missed it like we did on Sunday, but you have a chance of scoring that and still taking 3 points despite you know, having Aberdeen come back for two goals down. Sunday there again, you know, Celtic had one shot on target, or at least that was their first shot on target, I think, and it was an offside, and it was a goal that stood. If that doesn't count, if that gets rightly flagged off, then again we could be having a different conversation.
Yeah,
so
let's try and look ahead a bit, just because I get the sense that, you know, was it offside, was it on, is probably getting a bit old for a lot of people. But you know, Craig's is talking more generally about how big tomorrow is, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, it's about the response. I mean, and obviously the team selection is another thing. I mean, Steven Gerrard's got to look at the personality of his players, and he knows them as individuals and collectively who he feels is Stephen Davis back fit again. I mean, obviously if he's fit, he would definitely come into the team. But again, you've got the team selection, you've got the shape. He's like to, you know, he likes to play 4-3-3 in Europe. He played a narrower team at the weekend, and it worked in terms of, the chances created and controlling the midfield and stifling Celtic. It worked, but still making errors at the back at times, and that's something that you still got to be a little bit concerned with. You know, you can take the game how you like, but you know, you can't keep making these crucial errors of allowing people a free run in your goal and all this kind of stuff, and then say, okay, well, you know, we got away with that one because, you know, that there's almost one of these in one of the top games, and in a lot of other games that they don't have it. But in the top
Davis
games,
is out tomorrow, so by Davis the way, for what it's worth. Yeah.
So for me, team selection, and again, we spoke about it last week. Would they make a change in the central defence?
Well, Hollander's out, so he's going to have to this
there's
time.
There's going to be one change at least. But for me, it'll just be interesting to see how close to the team, injuries aside, it is on Sunday.
A bigger chance could this be for Nikola Katic, Mark, because he's possibly Rangers' most popular sub, if that makes any sense. I'm basing this on the calls that we get. We get so many saying Nikola Katic deserves more of a chance. You'd have to imagine he gets one tomorrow, because Hollander is out. He's getting tests on a foot injury. Steven Gerrard saying today he thinks it will be short term.
Yeah, Katic is going to be given an opportunity, and if he plays well tomorrow night, you know, I don't think Steven Gerrard will change it. He'll keep going. And you look at the games that Rangers have got coming up between now and the winter break, four massive league games, the game tomorrow night. So yeah, it's an opportunity for Katic and Goldson. It was a good partnership in the past, and can be again.
Thank you very much to Craig on the line. It's 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Let's speak to Greg, who's also a Rangers fan. He's calling from Saucos. Hi Greg.
Hi there, Gordon. Hi Jim, and hi Mark. Just a wee question for the fan of the night. Now, Celtic, everybody's been going about how they're the first Scottish team to win a European group, and, you know, they've got the luxury that they've got tomorrow night. They don't need to put a team out. Would you say, if Rangers get the result required tomorrow against Young Boys of Bern, that it would be a bigger achievement than Celtic winning their group with a game to spare, purely because they've come through the qualifiers, they were seeded pot four, and to come out and win your group after that, to me, plaudits where they're deserved. I reckon it's a bigger achievement than what Celtic have actually done, just purely by winning their group.
Here's a question.
Yeah, well, I must admit, Greg, I'm not going to go and give it to, you know, comparisons, because, you know, that's what fans can do. You can do it, you can decide whether you think it's a bigger achievement or not, but it would be an achievement. But I don't think you should ever look at Scottish clubs qualifying in terms of, you know, I'm not sitting in the fence, because the qualification groups I think, as I said, it's if Celtic qualifying is an outstanding achievement. I mean, The group they were in, I think, was very tough, and I think that to win it with two games to spare is absolutely brilliant, absolutely magnificent.
Spare, Jim. What, one? No, they've won it with one game to spare, Jim. Just so that you know that there.
Qualified with two games to spare.
Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah, they qualified with two games to spare.
Aye, but we're talking about winning the group here. Now, would it rank as a better achievement? I mean, as you said, it's for the fans to decide, but I hear it with the pundits all the time.
bigging up this and bigging up that, and you know, don't sit in the fence. You know, for a change, you know, in your eyes, you're an ex-player, same as Mark. What would you regard as being the biggest achievement for where Rangers have came for this season, working through all the qualifiers, or Celtic dropping out of the Champions League, ultimately being in a better pot position than Rangers, so being a seeded team in their group, you know?
Well, obviously, your opinion is that Rangers are a bigger achievement, and you're perfectly entitled to hold that view. But as I said, for me, I just think it's a great achievement. If both club, but Rangers, listen, at this moment in time, only Celtic have achieved it. Rangers have still to achieve it. They have got to go tomorrow night and get that point.
Mark, I didn't expect the question, but that's the great thing about the show. Greg's wanting to put you on the spot. Would you be able to pick one?
I think we'll wait and see if Rangers do it tomorrow night. Okay. Then we can judge it. When you see the final table, you can judge it. For me, it's not about what the bigger achievement is. For me, it's just a fantastic achievement at the moment that Celtic are through and Rangers are a point away from getting through. So for both clubs to do it, I think it's great. To me, it doesn't really bother me what the bigger achievement is or the better achievement.
What's that, Greg?
Wait and see what happens tomorrow night, first of all.
Maybe phone in next week with this question.
Maybe.
how confident are you, Greg, from Rangers' perspective tomorrow?
Well, listening to Craig, the caller before me there as well, Rangers have been formidable at Ibrox this season, albeit in the one game against them. We have been a formidable opponent at Ibrox. I think Rangers will comfortably win the game tomorrow. I think we should have won in Bern, albeit decisions go against you and, you know, teams score last-minute goals. But we dropped points in Bern. To me, we should go out and rectify that tomorrow. I reckon Rangers will comfortably win. Maybe 2-0, 3-1.
Yeah, over the piece, I mean, Rangers have clearly been a match and more than a match for every opponent in that group. That was the night that it was the mistakes, the individual errors, which really hurt Rangers. And I'm sure everyone goes along to Ibrox tomorrow well aware that there's probably no room for that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, I think sometimes that, you know, when, you know, fans are on, you know, that they've got to look at this, they'll say decisions didn't go against us, or, you know, we made, you know, but ultimately, if you make mistakes, you know, which happened in the last game, particularly at the start of the second half, you've got the game, you know, you've got the game in you, you know, by the throat, and you know, you're controlling the game, all these things, and then there's just lapses of concentration. It's happened, as I said, once or twice in big games, and it's those moments that they've got to just make sure that they improve upon. Because at Ibrox, I mean, against Feyenoord, against Porto, you know, Rangers were immense, but a couple of times away from home, just little lapses. So keep the same intensity tomorrow night. Start the game on the front foot. Try and get a goal. Try and get the fans right on side, as I said, or stay on side right through the game. Put the pressure on young boys, and then, as I said, if you do that, I'm absolutely convinced Rangers will win the game. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's 1-0 or 5-0, but obviously, you know, winning the game. I think they'll win the game. I think they'll get the 3 points. I think more than 1 point. I think they'll get all 3 points tomorrow night.
Yeah, I fancy Rangers to win the game as well. And I agree with Jim. I think Steven Gerrard's message to his players will be get on the front foot right away. You know, get rid of the mentality that we only need a point. Let's imagine what you've got to go and win the game. Go and take the game to young boys. Try and get a goal. Kill the tie as quick as you can. Or if they concede a goal, then you play your way back in. But one thing about Rangers, in two seasons under Steven Gerrard, they have had some good results. They don't look like rookies. They always look as if they've got a result in them. And I think they'll get the result tomorrow night to join Celtic in the last 32.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Thank you to Greg on the line. If you want to play against Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy, show off your footballing knowledge and potentially win yourself a signed ball, all you have to do is get in touch right now. 0141 951 1025. You have to be quick because the lines close for Beat the Pundit at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy are here taking your calls on a number of subjects so far. Kicked off with Steven Gerrard talking about his new contract. He's closing in on it. He's trying to get some of his players will follow. Alan McGregor and Stephen Davis, also hoping Jermaine Defoe will stay at the club. Asking you Celtic fans, which fringe players would you like to see given a chance tomorrow? Because a whole host of regulars have been left behind for the trip to Romania. We're going to cross over, speak to Alison Conroy, and get the very latest thoughts of Neil Lennon as soon as we finish this.
Beat Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. It's Mark Greedy or Jim Duffy up against Lee from Springburn. How are you, Lee?
I'm not too bad, yourself?
Not too bad at all, thank you. I'm going to toss this coin. If it's heads, you're up against Mark Greedy. And if it's tails, it's Jim Duffy. It is tails. Jim Duffy up against Lee.
Jim Duffy
from is that a good thing or a bad thing, Lee? I'm struggling to read your tone of voice.
I would take either or.
Oh right, I like that. Fighting talk, good stuff.
Confident man.
I'm going to give Jim something else to listen to. Maybe hook him up with some Christmas music or something. Right, Lee, you've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Jim. Remember, you can pass. So if you don't know it, pass it. Get on to the next one quickly, alright?
No worries.
Good man, your time starts now. Who's the manager of Scotland men's under 21s?
Billy Stark.
What age is Celtic's Jeremy Frimpong?
17.
Where did Rangers sign Connor Goldson from?
Brighton.
With which German team did Daniel Stendel start his managerial career?
Hoffenheim.
Which Scot was in Chelsea's 98 Cup Winners' Cup final squad?
Pass.
What nationality is Aberdeen's Joel Lewis?
Welsh.
Who was Celtic's starting goalkeeper in last season's League Cup final?
Craig Gordon.
Okay, let's bring Jim Duffy back. Jim, can you hear us?
Yep.
A few tricky ones in there tonight, I must say. Right. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. Who's the manager of Scotland men's under 21s?
Scott Gemmell.
What age is Celtic's Jeremy Frimpong?
Oh, I heard him saying he was coming up for 19, he was 18, so I'll go for 19.
Where did Rangers sign Connor Goldson from?
Was it Middlesbrough?
With which German team did Daniel Stendel start his managerial career?
Hanover.
Which Scot was in Chelsea's 98 UEFA Cup Winners' Cup final squad?
98, John Spencer.
What nationality is Aberdeen's Joe Lewis?
English.
Who was Celtic's starting goalkeeper in last season's League Cup final?
Scott Bain.
Okay. What do you think, Lee?
Not too bad. I think he maybe just beat me by one or two.
Right, okay. Some of them
I wasn't very confident, Lee, I have to be honest with you.
If this can be such a thing, the wrong answers were close. Wrong answers, if that makes any sense whatsoever. You'll see what I mean. Who's the manager of Scotland men's under 21s? Like, Billy Stark was not a bad shout, Lee, but it was Scott Gemmell. So Jim Duffy got that one right. What age is Jeremy Frimpong? And you knew it, Lee, but I had to accept your first answer. You said 17. He turned 19 yesterday. Yeah. So
I know, I just got a flashback literally a second later after I said
it. I heard them mention on TV at the weekend he's 19 this week, yesterday. But I wasn't sure exactly when. So
there we go, 2-0 to Jim Duffy, but Lee pulled one back. Connor Goldson came from Brighton. 2-1 at the moment. Which German team did Daniel Stendel start his managerial career? It was Hanover. Jim Duffy goes 3-1 in front. Which Scot was in Chelsea's 98 Cup Winners' Cup final squad? When was your time at Chelsea, Jim?
In 99, was it Craig Burley?
Steve Clark.
Or was it Stevie? Was it
a Scotland manager, Stevie
Clark. Stevie was there when I was there.
There we go.
So I should have got that.
Yeah, clearly. What nationality is Joe Lewis? Again, kind of close, but he is English, I'm afraid. So Jim Duffy's stretching ahead. And your toss of a coin on the last one, was it Craig Gordon, was it Scott Bain? It was actually Scott Bain. So Jim
got all the
marginal ones, but that's what it's all about. And I'm afraid he's done you. I think that was a 5-1 victory for Jim Duffy.
5-1.
Hard lines, Lee.
No, that's fine. Better luck next time.
Cheers, Lee. That was Lee in Springburn. I'm feeling generous. I'm going to cut my bit of slack. I think that was a good performance for somebody who only got one.
Yeah, well, no, good questions. I like those questions, actually.
I really am. I'm being kind, but he was kind of close on a few.
Christmas, you've got to be.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely. 5-1 in the end on Beat the Pundit. So there we go. Same time tomorrow. If you want to try and win yourself the signed ball, make sure you get in touch. Right, let's go to Romania. Don't say that very often. Let's speak to Alison Conroy. She's just been speaking to Neil Lennon. How are things over there, Alison?
Very cold, Gordon. Very, very cold here in Romania, but absolutely great. Celtic have arrived here. Neil Lennon has left a few players behind, as we expected to happen. Scott Brown, of course, he's suspended, so he hasn't travelled. Callum McGregor, one of the other ones who's been left behind. Fraser Forster, Tom Rogic, Odson Edward and Ryan Christie all haven't travelled to Cluj for this game tomorrow night. Of course, Celtic with nothing to play for in the sense that they've already won the group. So Neil Lennon can experiment a bit, give some youth players a chance, but he says it's about ending this campaign without losing a game.
No, we've got a strong team, but you know, we've got Robertson and Dembele in the squad, Savory in the squad. but whether they start is another thing. And the likes of Griffiths, you know, Sinclair, Beaton, Bauer, Craig Gordon, you know, they'll all feature tomorrow night. We're here to be competitive and we're here to win. And we have had a fantastic campaign and we know we have to respect the competition. And, you know, we take a huge amount of pride in what we've done and we want to finish the campaign on a high if we can.
Were there any clues within it, Alison, as to, you know, who starts games? You hear the word featured, but that can mean a number of things. There's been a lot of focus on the phones tonight regarding Lee Griffiths. Is this the game that he comes back in to start? Any clues as to who we might see play the majority of the game?
We know Craig Gordon will definitely start this game tomorrow night. He's already said that. He mentioned Lee Griffiths and said that he is one of the players who needs game time and he will be given a chance tomorrow night, but wouldn't say whether he will start or whether he will be on the bench. So he wasn't giving too much away, because remember, Cluj still need to take something tomorrow night if they want to join Celtic in the last 32 of the competition. They need a point, because Lazio can still be the team that finishes second as well. So although the pressure's off, he doesn't want to give too much away to Cluj as well. I was here earlier for Dan Petrescu's media conference as well. He thinks that Celtic will make it difficult for them tomorrow night, and he's tipping them for some big things this season.
Yeah, I heard that from Dan Petrescu, didn't we? Talking about winning the competition, which is quite high praise. How do what about the approach then, Alison, when he talks about just not losing the game? Is that the sort of is that the main aim, given that Celtic have had such a successful campaign so far? Did he mention anything about the approach?
It's about winning the game for him tomorrow night. He doesn't want to just turn up and look for a draw. He says the pressure's off. The players have got a chance to impress. It wouldn't ordinarily feature for Celtic as well. They've never won in Romania either, so that's another incentive. And of course, Cluj knocked them out of the Champions League playoffs earlier this season. So this is the second time that they've been in Romania this season. So although they've won the group and although the pressure's off, there's still a few things for Celtic to play for here tomorrow night.
Any talk of, you know, Sunday and what that's done for morale or anything going forward?
No, there was no talk of Sunday. It's like it's been forgotten already, and they want to focus on Cluj and the Europa League, and then all eyes will be on that draw on Monday to find out who they'll get in the last 32 in February.
Any Celtic fans going over, what can they expect? I've seen your social media posts. It's just like any other European city at this time of year. It's cold, there are Christmas lights and markets everywhere. Is that just about cover it?
They absolutely love a fairy light in Cluj. I have to say, it's a beautiful city. It's very cold, but it's dry. I think around 1,000 Celtic fans are expected here. I think there's 750 tickets for the away end, but there's also a neutral end in the stadium. So I think the majority of the fans coming over will get tickets. In fact, quite a lot of the Celtic fans were on our flight yesterday, so I think they've come for a full-on city break to Cluj for this one, just making the most of it, going to the Christmas markets and soaking up a little bit of the atmosphere as well. And also, there are two stadiums in Cluj, so they need to make sure they don't go to the wrong one.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, sound advice. That was a wish you were here with Alison Conroy in Romania. Thank you very much for giving us the update. We heard there from Neil Lennon, listening to some of the players who he says, you know, could feature. There are some really young, inexperienced players there. He mentioned, was it Scott Robertson, Grant Savory, yeah. You know, players that I don't think have any. I remember Scott Robertson made it onto the bench in one of the recent domestic games. But how difficult is it as a manager, Jim, to get that balance between clearly putting out a weakened team? And I don't think that's been disrespectful, but you're leaving all your main players behind, and then trying to get that message or that belief that you can still go on and do something in the match.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's up to the mentality of the players. I mean, the players can do one or two things. They can go out there and say, listen, I want to be part of this, you know, successful side as it is at the moment, and a team that can, you know, I can be a player that can be competitive and when required, you know, impact, you know, how the season goes. Or, well, listen, you're only putting us in there now because you're giving all those other guys a rest and you can be a wee bit moody. So it all really depends on the players themselves. But listen, you know, there's no way in the world Celtic can have the same edge. It's just one of those things that happens in football. You see it time and time again. Job's done. You know, they'll go there, they'll be as professional as they can be when the game starts. But, you know, Cluj will see this as an opportunity. There's no doubt about it to try and get a positive result. If Celtic come away with a draw tomorrow night, I think it's a good result. Because, as I said, you know, there will be a lot of changes. And after the game, you know, they wouldn't have had much time to prepare. So a little bit of kind of, maybe a wee bit disorganised as well, just in terms of, but listen, the players they're putting in, Sinclair, Griffiths, Beaton, guys like that, they're all experienced players. So they should know how to deal with it, and they should know what's expected of them.
Let's take a call. Alec is a Celtic fan on the line. Who are you thinking might get a run out tomorrow, Alec? Who would you like to see?
Well, I would hopefully like to see Sinclair, and I think you touched on that earlier, that he was maybe going to get a game.
Yeah.
I would also like to see some of the, well, Lee Griffiths, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know what's going on there. But I'd love to see like some of the young guys getting a game now for a wee bit of European experience, such as the boy McEnroy. I've seen him a couple of times. He looks good. And obviously, the obvious one would be Karamoko Dembele, but there's a couple others that I like as well. That big Afolabi, he looks a right handful, and maybe even Okoflex.
Yeah, I think listening to Neil Lennon, it looks like Grant Savory, Scott Robertson, Karamoko Dembele, they would be the main ones that are likely. Those other guys that Alec mentions clearly are doing enough in the academy that Alec's taken notice of them. What about Karamoko Dembele? It's been a strange, because you forget that he came in at the end of, well, you don't forget, but he came in at the end
of
last season.
He was on the bench
season,
in the cup final, wasn't
he? He was on the bench in the Scottish Cup final, and actually had Celtic been a bit more comfortable within the game, he probably would have come on because he had been coming on in the previous weeks, and that was the big talk. If you remember it in May, that was the talk in the build up to the Hearts game. Will Karamoko Dembele get on in the Scottish Cup final? A couple of months on, the new season starts. I think he had injury problems. Celtic are flying, they're winning the League Cup, they're doing great things in Europe, so you don't perhaps think about it as much, Jim, but will the rest of the season, would you expect to see him if he's...
Well, he is still very young. Let's you know, make sure we understand that. But and also the competition ahead of him. We have the TV on here, and it's like Phil Foden. You know, every time we hear Guardiola speaking, he speaks so highly of him, and he keeps saying he apologises all the time for not giving them more game time. He's got De Bruyne and Gooden and all these kind of guys in front of him, and Bernardo Silva and David Silva, etc. And Karamoko Dembele's a little bit similar in the sense of how many top players he's got in front of him. So if he's a winger, Celtic's got a host of wingers, and obviously bring in Elneny as well, who all right, he was maybe not fully fit at the weekend, but he's done very, very well. James Forrest is almost a gimme for most weeks. Sinclair's still there, Zved's still there, Lewis Morgan's now Mikey Johnson. So it's very difficult to say, well, is he better than them? You want to promote them, you want to develop them, but I think he might be a player that may have to go out on loan, maybe at the turn of the year, or he certainly may have to consider it, because if he wants first team experience, I can't see him getting it at Celtic anytime soon.
It's going to be an interesting period for him, Mark, because he is 16, as Jim mentions. He's not 17 till February. That's extremely young. Yeah, however. Yeah. The perception that we've been given from this player as he's been growing up is that the hopes are that he's genuinely going to be an elite player, you know, the top of the game sort of thing in future years. And those guys, they tend to come through and make an impact at 17 or thereabouts.
Yeah, you would expect to see him if the progress is what, as you say, what we were led to believe last year. Then you would expect to be getting into the first team the second half of the season and pushing. If he does that, doesn't mean to say the boy's, you know, not on the right track or whatever, because we say he's going to be 17 in
still
February.
So young, isn't it?
If he's looking at, I suppose, if you're Dembele, and it'll be a good thing actually, we don't say, well, the manager's got faith in Frimpong, throwing him in.
Yeah, Frimpong's a good example.
Boyle, say, you know, so there's a kid there that they've brought in since. So actually, age isn't a barrier. If you're showing that you're good enough, you'll get your chance.
Alec, you mentioned Scott Sinclair. He was a name that used to come up on the show all the time, but as the weeks have ticked by, are the Celtic fans starting to realise that his days are numbered, or do you still have hope that he can play a part going forward?
I still have hope he would come back, because I think he was a brilliant player, and I don't know what the issue was. I don't know if he was wanting a move and Neil Lennon didn't think he was committed enough, but I would give him another go, definitely, because he's a class act and he always seemed to produce it against Rangers, which obviously is our biggest rivals.
I think, Alec, you know, the emergence of Mikey Johnson is a wee bit to play it in as well. You know what I mean? He when he came in, and he just looked like a young emerging talent, which he is. And I think that's something that's always been in Celtic's kind of DNA, really, is to try and promote them. And perhaps, obviously, you know, you know, Sinclair's still there if required. But I think if the possibility or the choices are now between a young player like Dembele, like Mikey Johnson, who are in the system, against someone like Sinclair, I think that the younger players now, if they're, you know, obviously proving that they're good enough, will get the nod. And I think the vast majority of Celtic fans, mm-hmm. I think, enjoy that.
You got any future at all for you, Mark Guidi? Any meaningful future, should I say?
Scott Sinclair? No. I think he was maybe close to being away in August, and I would expect a bit of interest in him in January. So yeah, I think Scott Sinclair's time's good. And you know, for £3 million that they spent to get him from Aston Villa, a fantastic bit of business. Really, really good top player for Celtic.
Alec and Summerson, thank you very much for your call. Stay in touch, we'll speak to you soon. It's 01419511025 in the phones. Over on Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB. What a teaser we had last night. One of the most difficult ones, I would say. And by the way, tonight's isn't far behind. This is tough. I'm sorry, I was looking through them and I thought, I feel like you two have got some of these answers in you. That's what I'm going to say. So we're looking for 11 men. It's got a managerial theme, and we'll give you the question next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com. Celtic and Rangers in Europe on Clyde One with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan. We've heard from Stephen Gerrard, we've heard from Neil Lennon. We're building up to a big night of Europa League action. Not quite two big games in the sense that we've had in previous weeks. Celtic have done their business. It will be a much changed squad tomorrow, but for Rangers, so much to play for. And Stephen Gerrard talking as well about potentially, well, he'll sign a new contract very soon. That's the news we brought you at the top of the show. On tonight's teaser, tricky one, I must say. Now, since 92-93, so it's the start of the English Premier League era, but 92-93, 11 men have managed an English team and have played for either Hearts or Hibs. Now, there's a method to the madness, because we're going to hear from Daniel Stendel very soon, the new Hearts manager. So since 92-93, 11 men have managed an English side and have played for either Hearts or Hibs.
Okay, I'll give you one.
Go.
Eddie Boothroyd.
Oh my goodness, he's went straight in with one of the most difficult ones. I'm impressed. Eddie Boothroyd, well done. Yeah, he's managed Watford, Colchester, a number of teams, and actually played for Hearts in 92. So there you go.
There you go, well done.
That was a tough one. See, that's just showing off, if I'm being honest. See, going straight in with the hardest one.
Honestly, it was the first one. I can't think of another one at the moment. It was the first one that
you've even done it alphabetically on my answer sheet, which is making me suspicious that you've seen it. But Eddie Boothroyd, yes. There are easier ones than him, and there are some, definitely some tricky ones.
Yeah, it's just the Premiership.
No. It just so happens that that's the era. It's just managed.
Oh, right, okay, right.
So 11,
Craig Levein,
11 men
managed in England. Yeah, because Craig Levein's at Leicester.
Yes.
So it can be any level.
Yep.
Right, okay.
So it's just an English side.
Initially we're thinking it's...
No, it's just that that's the time frame, right, sorry. Okay, yeah, right. 92-93.
Any club in England.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Must be a Hibs one.
But it's just to clarify, they must have done both things since 92-93. So they must have managed an English team since then and played for Hearts or Hibs since then. Yeah?
Since 92-93.
For instance, Jim Jeffries... has managed the English team since then, but he played for Hearts prior,
way back,
so he doesn't count.
Right, okay.
Both things must be since 92-93.
Right, well, so I'll give you another one. Late Ray Wilkins.
Yes, managed QPR and Fulham, played for Hibs 96-97.
Did Bobby Olmson? Did he
do that? No. Alright, listen, that's a good start. 3 out of 11, I'm actually quite impressed with you, I must admit. So that's 3 of the 11. You can help us if you want to play along at Clyde SSB. Send over your answers. We will hear from Daniel Stendel soon. Some interesting stuff coming out of Hearts at the moment. Let's check in with Davey first though. Davey's in Pollock. What's on your mind, Davey?
How you doing, guys? Merry Christmas when it comes, everybody.
Same to you, Davey. Very kind. Davey.
Well, this is, I'd like you to give this to Jim Duffy, to be honest with you, because I know he's an ex-manager. Okay, so...
He's still a manager.
Well, he's still a manager, sorry. He's done a great job doing it. Martin, my nephew played for him at the time. Peter McDonald.
Oh, hi, Peter, yeah, he's a good guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm asking, do you think Gerrard changes his team too much? Do you think he's got his favourites? Considering, I mean, the people within the office here, for 6 weeks were ranting, raving how Caddick had played. And then all of a sudden he's dropped and he's out of the team for 2 months. And then he turns around on Sunday when Rangers needed a goal. Apart from before, I'm talking about Greg Stewart, who scored two goals 2 weeks before and played out his skin any time he's asked to play, but yet didn't play him. It's the same as Edmondson. Outstanding centre-half. I go to Liverpool games. I'm a Liverpool fan. My brother goes to Ibrox, and he said Edmondson was outstanding, but yet he doesn't play them all. He sticks by Tavener, who's a right back, and I think he's what you were saying earlier on the show, that we concede goals when we're away abroad and it costs us dearly. And I would rank against the Young Boys, Tavener sell it to them. Against Feyenoord, he sell one. So I think it's about time we gave the armband away to somebody else and put him on the side of the park for a while.
I feel like we've sort of done this James Tavernier thing, and he's not made any of those mistakes that recently to sort of add to it. But listen, it still clearly bubbles away. What about the Greg Stewart one? I know a lot of people, there's not a real disappointment in terms of the way Rangers went about it, because they played very well on Sunday. But I have noticed one or two saying, not sure about the changes, not sure about Brandon Barker. Should Greg Stewart have been introduced?
I mean, again, listen, managers do favourites, of course they do. You know, they work with them every day, and there's sometimes you like a certain player. Fans are different. I mean, if you ask any group of fans, it's rarely they would all pick the same 11 players. You know, there's always one player that somebody likes, someone doesn't. So yeah, but and in a game when Celtic were down to 10 men, he's maybe thinking Barker's pace and stretching the game. And obviously at that time, Celtic put Ayer to right back, and he's maybe thinking, can we get it out to him? It didn't work out that way, but maybe in his head, that's the kind of way he's thinking. But, you know, in terms of, you know, favourites, it's not favourites in the sense that you do it because you don't like the other guy. It's just a preference. You know, I think that's the word I would use rather than a favourite, Davey. It's a preference. His preference of a partnership is Goldson and Hollander has been. A lot of Rangers fans we listen to on the programme think that Katic is a better option. But the bottom line is, when you have your manager like Steven Gerrard, you've got to trust him, you've got to believe in him, and you've got to believe that he gets the vast majority of decisions right. He won't get them all right. No manager does. But if he gets the majority of them right and the big calls, that's the ones. You know, if he makes a substitution, does it impact the game? Can it impact the game? How do they impact the game over the course of a season? No, over just one game against, say, Celtic. So I think he's got a preference of certain players. I don't see James Tavernier losing the armband at all. I think actually, if anything, he's actually shown a wee bit more of a captain's leadership over recent months when he had the criticism. It might have been easy for him to get into shell, but he didn't. I think he stood up to be counted. I think he actually said he wanted to continue to take the penalties, all these kind of things. So I think that actually shows a wee bit of strength in the guy. So, and I think he's improved as well. He's made very few really crucial errors over the last maybe 6 or 7 weeks.
Mark, well, in fact, I'll throw this back to Davey. Davey, you mentioned Katic. He is probably going to play tomorrow because Philippe Hollander's out. So can you see him taking this chance and staying in there for the foreseeable?
But that's the point I'm trying to make to Jim at this moment in time. He did take his chance. He took his chance at Ibrox and he was outstanding. And then he was left back out the team again. You know, to me... Yeah,
I think he was injured. I think he was injured initially. I think, Davey, I think so. And that maybe he lost his place initially. I think so.
Right, okay, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. That was Davey in Pollock. He's a Liverpool fan, keeps a close eye on Rangers. Thank you as always for the call, Davey. 01419511025 on the lines. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. Let's hear a bit from Daniel Stendel, shall we? The new Hearts manager. He's looking to change their style of play. He wants to excite the Hearts supporters. He also hopes the more attacking style will help the fans come to Tynecastle. Any jambos out there? What do you think? 01419511025.
For me, it's the first that we changed the game on the pitch. I cannot say we win the next three games, but I think we can show more confidence, more playing active, more playing in front, and that you can see this, the Hearts game, this the Hearts style, and we want to excite the fans, and that after the game said, okay, it was a nice game, I came next week back, and this is what we want, and yeah, and in the end we want to win games, and when we win more games than we lose, then I think we can step up to the table.
This is Glasgow, in case you hadn't noticed. And when a manager of another club gets appointed on a weekend like this, it will always go under our radar a little bit. On another week, we would have really been given this a bit more focus. So this is the first time we've had to get your in-depth thoughts in terms of what you make of it as an appointment.
Yeah, it's been a bit protracted, I think a bit dragged out, but it seemed to be the one that Anne Budge and the Hearts directors had focused on from pretty much day one. I'm not quite sure why it took so long. But listen, that's the guy that they believe can transform Hearts fortunes, and I think he's got a tough job. I think not only, you know, do they need to get back winning, but they need to get the Hearts fans behind them again. There seems to be, you know, a bit of a malaise there. You know, I don't know what happened, you know, both under Craig Levein and obviously Austin McPhee, but there just seems to be something not quite right at Hearts just now. And I think that, you know, they'll have to make sure this guy's the right guy. But it's a big risk. You know, he doesn't know anything about Scottish football. He doesn't know anything about Hearts. He's admitted that. You know, so therefore, it's going to take him the best will in the world. It's got to take you a couple of months, because you've got to know the whole squad. You've got to see the whole squad while trying to play games.
Hearts have a big
games.
Squad as well, yeah. Don't they? They might not seem like it at times, because people say they're lacking quality at the moment, but they've got a lot of players.
But you've got young players to look at, and you've got and then also you've got, you know, potential players, but you don't know which potential players to look at, because you have to assess your own players first and see, you know, the competition that's out there, the budget, all these kind of things. So As a risk, I think it is a risk. If it pays off, fantastic. But I do think that the time factor will definitely be, you know, the games will fly past quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the next 3-4 weeks is going to be absolutely pivotal.
In the derby coming up as well. Yeah. I think they've got a visit to Celtic Park, so he's got a tough schedule. But before the winter break, and he'll need to. As you know, Jim, he'll be working every hour available, because he's got to assess everything and then do what he thinks needs to be done in January when the window's open.
Yeah, it's hard to squeeze all into that period of time. As I said, weather conditions can change, all sorts of things. I mean, they've got good facilities, they've got a great infrastructure, but in terms of confidence, in terms of the players and also the style, by all accounts, he wants to play a more flamboyant, you know, open style. But do Hearts have the players to play that? I'm not quite so sure.
Anne Budge says she's seen nothing to suggest that they owe Barnsley compensation for Daniel Stendel. She's also delighted they've finally got their man. Says his passion was clear from the first interview.
I was as frustrated, if I can use that word, as everybody else, that, you know, the process was taking some time. But I said at the outset it would take as long as it took, and we wanted to do it properly. So, yep, we got here, and it was, I'm sure, going to be worth the wait.
Why Daniel?
Track record, but almost more importantly, his passion, which came across very, very clearly during the interview process. As well as that, I think we decided we wanted to try something a little bit different.
Anne, can you clarify where we're at with this Barnsley situation? As far as you're concerned, is the ball in their court?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I'm sure you've all read the statement that Barnsley put out. I'm sure you've all read the statement that I put out. And you've all read the statement that Daniel's put out. So, as far as I'm concerned, we're getting on with business.
If they pursue compensation, you say that you will contest that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you're satisfied that your lawyer's advice is watertight, presumably?
I'm satisfied that at this point in time, we've had nothing to suggest that there is any compensation due, and on that basis, I'm carrying on.
Spotted a raised eyebrow from you at one point in that, Jim. Which point was it?
I think it was Anne Budge, you know, saying you know, when she was asked about the reasons why, you know. Obviously passion's fine, but you know, in terms of anything else, you know, it's, I suppose, I'm sure there's a lot of people have probably put their application in, they would have a better CV in terms of you know, experience.
So it was the track record bit.
Yeah, the track record, you know. But listen, you know, I've said many times now, it's about a fit. Sometimes you can have a great track record and then you don't particularly fit that club. So if she got that vibe and she's the owner, and sometimes that's what it takes. You're sitting facing someone face to face, you think, I like that person, that's the one I want, regardless of whether, you know, you've got maybe another 10 so-called better CVs in front of you. That's the guy that seems to, you know, just gives me the vibes, and that's the guy I believe in. So, fair enough.
What do you make of the fact, Mark Guidi, that Craig Levein and Austin McPhee will be sharing the sporting director's role on a temporary basis until such times as they appoint someone else. Is that healthy moving forward? Can you see why people would be concerned that that's maybe not the clean break that people were hoping for?
Yeah, you can see why there would be a bit of concern. What is the situation then with Stendel's backroom staff? Has so he brought moment, backroom staff
no,
with him?
He's, not he's, at the moment. He's working with.
So is he keeping on Osmit Fee as like his assistant?
Currently. I don't know how that may change.
I mean, it's. I just thought at the outset, the message that I thought was coming from Hearts was, you know, technical director, director of football, whatever you want to call it, put that in place first, you know, your building blocks. And then that person would be involved in the process of selecting the new manager. Just like Jim's saying there, with Ann Budge sitting down with somebody, you'd want the technical director and the head coach to have that relationship as well, with the click. So it might be a wee bit back to front, but the bottom line at the moment for Hearts, they need to just go and start winning games, Gordon. It's been a poor year, it's been a poor 2019, although they got the Scottish Cup final, but over the piece, results haven't been good enough. And they're obviously banking and Stendel being the man to change that.
So there is still a bit of uncertainty perhaps, Jim, because Austin McPhee was the assistant. He was then interim manager. He still maybe has his hat in the ring for the sporting director. Mm-hmm. And at the moment he's going to share it with Craig Levein. I think Austin McPhee's looking after the likes of video analysis and recruitment. He was already doing some of that work, according to Ann Budge. Craig Levein focused mostly on the youth academy and so on. It might only be for a short period of time, but can you see why people are perhaps not delighted with that?
Yeah, it just seems a wee bit messy for me. I mean, if Craig Levein, with all his experience, I'm sure he can do the job. So let him do the job a sporting director until such times if you want to bring someone else in. I don't think you need two temporary sporting directors.
Is that not the Craig Levein thing? I mean, if you're Daniel Stendel and the previous manager is the sporting director.
Two previous managers.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got two now, not just one. And, you know, again,
she said she wanted to really get clear if one person could do it all or what the sporting director role would look like in the future.
Well, I look at other clubs, the vast majority, I don't know anybody that's got two, even the big clubs have one. You know, they might have assistants and, you know, obviously the huge clubs have assistants, but one or two other people might have different kind of people focusing on. I think, you know, Rangers, you might have a head of recruitment and you might have someone who deals with it as a sporting director with all other aspects of the club. But to me, it just seems a wee bit too cluttered. And I think when a new manager comes in, you want a clean slate.
Right, speaking of football in the capital, since 92-93, 11 men have managed an English side and have also played for either Hearts or Hibs. Good response on Twitter, by the way. Sean El Hamed's throwing some guesses in, Matthew Breckenridge, Barry Finlayson, Colin Moffat. So there's some good attempts coming in. You've got Eddie Boothroyd, Craig Levein and Ray Wilkins.
The other one, I mean, I don't know if, I can't remember if he played or not, but it was Jaws Burley.
No.
I know Jaws was managed, but I couldn't remember if he played first.
No.
Davy Weir.
John Hughes.
Yes,
yeah,
Hartlepool, Hibs.
Yeah. Throw a left field one in. I don't think I'm right because I don't think he's managed, but he might have maybe down the league. John Burridge.
No. So you've got Boothroyd, Hughes, Levein, Weir, Wilkins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right. 6 to go. I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
On tonight's full-time teaser, Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are giving it a really good go. It's a good question. If you want to hear your question on the show in the future, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes I don't use the questions the day after they're sent because that's impossible. Sometimes they get saved up and it can change some of the answers. So since 92-93, 11 men have managed an English league side and have played for either Hearts or Hibs. You've got Eddie Boothroyd, John Hughes, Craig Levein, Davy Weir, Ray Wilkins. We should add Michael O'Neill to the list because when the question was sent in about 5 weeks ago, Michael O'Neill hadn't managed an English team, but he now has. So we'll just add him on as a wee bonus at the end. You've still got 1, 2, 3.
Is that because
three,
we
four,
told
five.
You that one, Gordon? You might have given us a wee bit of credit for it.
You suggested it during the break and I thought, that sounds right. So you've still got six others to get.
Yeah, we think there's a couple running about the kind of same era, which is Gary Caldwell and Stephen Presley.
Brilliant. Well done. Gary Caldwell managed Wigan and Chesterfield, played for Hibs. Stephen Presley managed Coventry, Fleetwood, Carlisle, played for Hearts. Okay.
Derek Adams?
No.
No.
And not that long ago, I think Robbie Nielsen.
Yes, MK Dons and Hearts. Well done. Is that only
how many have we got now?
Three to get.
Three to get.
Remember, we added Michael O'Neill on.
Okay.
Okay, I'll give you some more thinking time. Let's speak to Andy and Dennison. Hi, Andy.
Hiya, guys. How you all doing?
Not too bad, Andy. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was listening earlier on. I heard the guy call up. He was making a point about, well, he was trying to ask you guys who's done better, Celtic or Rangers. I think the bottom line is that Celtic have done amazing things. They've won their group. They've gone through with two games to spare. They're undefeated so far. Rangers have also done amazing. Last season, even qualifying for the competition was a success. They're gunning for it tomorrow. They've got good wins against Porto, and was it Feyenoord they beat at Ibrox as well, I think?
Yes.
The coefficient is the most important thing here. If you want to talk about money, sure, you get a good wee purse from getting into the Europa League, but it's all about the Champions League, and having two teams competing to get into that is the ultimate goal. So I wouldn't really bother about comparing the two.
Well, we tried not to, Andy, but unfortunately, some people try to pin you. But no, we both think that if Rangers get that point tomorrow, which is required, it would be an outstanding achievement. And you're right, you know, from Scottish football, whether it's domestic, whether it's international football, everything, you know, gets, you know, there's more money goes into the game, there's more interest in the game, it's easier for sponsorship. It generates, money, it filters through to every level of the game. The higher profile they get, it helps the managers, their profile, the players, the revenue, the money, everything is better. So 100% agree with you. For coefficient, if we can manage to get two teams back from where we were not that long ago, you know, we're scrambling about trying to get into, you know, just happy to be in the Europa League. If we can get two teams back in the Champions League, it would be absolutely superb. So let's hope that both teams continue the good work. Celtic's already done it, as we know. Let's hope Rangers get over the line tomorrow. And we both think that they will, and then have another positive result in the last 32. And I think that's the one, is it, Gordon? I think if both teams win their next ties, that's
yeah, I think we need two. It looks like we need two wins at the moment to secure that
one team could win
spot.
Two,
but and of course this is where the coefficient thing can be a bit difficult, Mark, because they've both done great things, so you can't take anything away. They are the reason that the coefficient is looking good this season, but there does become a point where, you know, if you're Celtic, Neil Lennon's trying to win the game tomorrow, but it's not as if he's going to say, right, I'm just going to burn out Ryan Christie and Callum McGregor and Scott Brown because we need even more coefficient points. You know, it doesn't quite work like that. He's left a whole host of first team players at home.
Yeah, it's not it's a nice bonus, but it's not the priority for him. But I think they'll get the wins over the course. I think the Scottish teams will get the wins that they need. And to have, you know, two in the Championship, I remember, well, it'll be about a decade ago, two teams, Walter Smith and Gordon Strachan's teams were both in the Champions League. So, yeah, it would be absolutely, it'd be thrilling to have two teams going for the Champions League spots, being the qualifiers, you know, during July and August. It'd be absolutely brilliant.
Andy, what are you thinking? You're a Celtic fan, I believe. So from tomorrow's point of view, fringe players perhaps getting a look in, who would you like to see get a run out?
Oh, well, it's really exciting they're doing that. It's probably unlikely, but I wouldn't mind seeing Karamoko Dembele start, or even if he got a run out, you know, 60 minutes in or whatever. And then you mentioned that was it Robertson, Scott Robertson?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Guys like that, I think it's brilliant that we're in a position that we can put these guys onto the pitch, bring them over for a European away game. Excellent experience for the young guys. So as many of them as possible, but you have to strike that balance between, you know, not playing a team full of kids. You need to have a few guys in there. So the likes of Sinclair as well, I think, should definitely start.
Yeah, what might Celtic's midfield look like tomorrow, Jim? Near Beaton
and Cham?
Beaton and Cham, would that be the sort of holding two? And then you may be looking at one of the wider guys to play more centrally, whether, you know, a Mikey Johnson, a Lewis Morgan taking up that Ryan Christie role.
Yeah, I think Mikey Johnson would be the most likely to take that role up there behind Lee Griffiths, with maybe Scott Sinclair on the other side.
Forrest has travelled.
Yeah, James Forrest has
travelled. Yeah, he's still gone. He's one of the few.
I don't see him taking Forrest over there, not playing him, not starting him. So I would guess maybe Forrest and Clare in the wide areas, Mikey Johnson behind Lee Griffiths, and Cham and Beaton. So I mean, it's not a bad group of players, yeah, you know.
Bauer,
to have
Bauer at right back, you'll still have Ayer playing, yeah, and Greg Taylor will play at left back, yeah, probably.
No, Greg Taylor's, I think he's
yeah, he can play the last one, didn't he?
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. Sorry,
and Craig Gordon in goals, you know. So it'll still be a strong team.
There we go. Thank you very much to Andy and Dennison for his call. 01419511025. I think that's probably going to be the last one for tonight. I don't want to just shoehorn another one in there and then cut them off while they're still in full flow. So thanks to Andy and Denniston. Anything big coming out of the Champions League that we need to tell people about? I think we had the
Man City won 4-1 away to Zagreb, Dinamo Zagreb.
He's just got a hat-trick.
Good time of year for him as well, really, yeah, with a name like that to be scoring a hat-trick at this time of year.
Yeah, of course.
Good on him.
Lots of people bringing presents to him after he's scored.
The two wise men are here with me in the studio at the moment. Right. Have we got time to move? I think we should move on to the teaser. Right, okay, right. Let me just recap the question. So since 11 men have managed an English league side, any English league side, and have played for either Hearts or Hibs. So you've got Eddie Boothroyd, Gary Caldwell, John Hughes, Craig Levine, Robbie Nielsen, Stephen Presley, Davy Weir, Ray Wilkins. I should say you need to add Michael O'Neill on and make it 12 men, because he became an English league manager about a month ago after this question was sent in to us. Right. So there we go, that's fine. Michael O'Neill, add him on. You're still looking at 1, 2, 3 more.
I'll throw one at left field, Neil Poynton.
No. I'm wondering if, bizarrely, not that this is much of a clue, but bizarrely, Jim Duffy, you mentioned this guy's son earlier on, just in passing. No. We were talking about goalkeepers. We were talking about Fraser Forster.
Oh, Brian Gunn.
Yeah, Brian Gunn.
Good shout.
You mentioned Angus, didn't you, when we were talking about?
Yeah, Brian took over at Norwich for a while, didn't he?
He did, and he played for Hibs in the late 90s. Right, two more really tough ones, particularly because this guy's actually had a pretty decent managerial career in England, and he's still going quite well in the Championship. You just might forget that he played up here for Hearts in 2006.
Alec Neil?
Nope. So he's not Scottish. No. He came up to Hearts in 2006, and he's going fairly well, I think, in the Championship at the moment. He's managed a couple of other English teams. Was he
Lee Johnson?
Yes, Lee Johnson. Yeah.
Played for Kelly as well, didn't he?
And the last one, this is the hardest one, I must say. Played for Hearts in 96 and managed Coventry in 2011. That's it. There's no more to his clue.
Hearts in 96.
Yeah, and Coventry in 2011 he managed. That's a tough one.
There's no Mark Robbins, no.
I think we can almost write this one off.
I think you just tell. Who is it? Tell the listeners.
Andy Thorne.
Oh, big Andy Thorne.
Never got it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi. We're back tomorrow night. Europa League action in the company of Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson. In the meantime, stay right there. Callum Gallagher is up next.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.